Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. For those of you who are listening for the first time, we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity at a time to share what's on your heart. Amen. All mics are going to be open as we go through this this time from 7 to 8. All mics will be open, so make sure that you would please mute whatever device that you're using for audio. If you could, ma'am, sir, could you please do that? As we move forward, we are glad to see all those that are online. I recognize a lot of these numbers. Thank you for tuning in. And we are glad that you are safe during these uncertainties. Amen. We have to continue to pray for one another and keep each other lifted up. As we move forward, we're not going to belabor our time. I'm going to ask if Minister Herman can usher us into prayer for the things that's going on during this time. Amen. We are in troubling times, and we need to stand in the gap for those who are going through difficulties, trials, tribulations, whatever they may be going through. Amen. We stand in the gap, and we pray for them. Amen. Minister Herman, are you there?
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Dr. Clay and Dr. Clay, God bless you. We're going to go to the throne of grace right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, as we come boldly to your throne of grace, but yet humbly, dear God, we thank you for another Wednesday, Father. We thank you how you looked over us all through the week up until this appointed time. We give you praise and glory right now, dear God. We're asking you, Father, to forgive us for anything we've said or done that wasn't pleasing in your sight, anything unknowingly that we have in our hearts that we've forgotten about. Lord, we ask you to cleanse us and fill us again with your precious Holy Spirit. We don't want none of these prayers or anything that's going to be said and done today to be hindered. But, Father, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you today for this line. We thank you for the leaders of this line. We thank you for all those that are coming on this line to hear a word from you, dear God. Lord, continue to move by your power and anointing on each and every one of us. You know what each and every one stands in the need of, dear God.
Yes.
All the requests that they have, whether it be secretly or openly, dear God. You said that we can ask anything in your name, and you shall give it unto us. Lord, we pray your word today. Your word is a light unto our pathway. Your word is a guide unto our lives, dear God. We thank you right now, dear God, for a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all those that are bereaved today. Lord, we ask you to touch them. Lord, go into the intangible places, dear God. We thank you for them because they're still in the land of the living. Even though they are bereaved today, dear God, take them through the process. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Go into those intangible places and comfort their hearts today. We thank you right now, dear God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for you see, you know, and you care. We thank you, Lord God. For Lord, it's because of you they live and move and have their being. Lord, just give them that peace that passes their own understanding to let them know that their loved ones are safe in your arms, Father. We thank you today.
Father.
Lord, we pray for the leaders of this nation, dear God. We pray for the leaders of we pray for the leaders. We pray for the leaders in every church, dear God, every church that's represented on this line, every church all over this nation, all over this world, dear God. We thank you for the leaders. We thank you for your under-shepherds, the pastors, the bishops, all those in their rightful perspective places, dear God. Anoint them afresh, Father. Lord, you see, you know, and you care what they're going through. A lot of them have a lot on their plate. So, Father, we ask you right now, you said to bring all your burdens unto you, and you will lift them, dear God. Lord, we thank you right now for leading and guiding them, dear God, in which way to go. Strengthen them. Strengthen their congregants, dear God. Strengthen each and every one in the body of Christ, dear God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you today. Dear God, we pray for even our president. We pray for our president today, Lord. Move on his life today. Lord, we pray that you would meet him face to face. Lord, convict him, dear God. Hallelujah, move. You said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Lord, we pray right now. You said in your word, you'll have not one be lost. It would be their choice. Not one would be lost. Dear God, we pray that he'll seek your face. Pray that an oracle will come and give him a word. Pray that he will open up his heart, dear God, to hear what the Spirit is saying unto him, dear Father. Lord, we pray that he'll turn from his wicked ways. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and all those that are in his cabinet, Lord, we pray for the crooked way to be made straight in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, that you know what's going on with the pandemic and the things that are going on in this earth today, dear God. We thank you that you already knew it was going to happen. You already knew that it would be here. But, dear Father, we pray that the people will adhere to the caution and to what they need to do as far as being safe and making their life, having safety in their lives and those that they are coming around. Dear God, prick their hearts. Let them know that this is not a joke. This is not a test. Hallelujah. This is what it is. This is how we're living. And we have to be so very mindful. You said in your word to walk circumspectly, Lord, cautiously. We pray right now that they will walk cautiously in these days and times. Lord, we thank you today. Father. And we give you praise
thank
and
you,
glory
Jesus.
Today. We thank you for our school children that are getting ready to go back to school. Lord, we pray that their parents give their parents guidance, dear God, whether to send them to school or not, dear Father, because even the little kids, they're going from away from here. So, Father, we pray that you give them the wisdom in how to deal with going to school or keep them home, dear God. But we ask for your hedge of protection around the children, the young adults, the adults, the seniors, everyone, Lord, keep a hedge of protection around them, dear God. Not another one be lost. Lord, we know that you know the count. So we thank you today.
Yes.
We give you praise today, dear God, because prayer is what we do. Praise is what we do, dear God.
Yes,
we're praying and we're praising. We're standing in the gap, dear God.
Yes,
we thank
in the name
you.
Of Jesus.
We give you glory. Lord, we continue to bless those that stand in the gap. Those, hallelujah, that stands on that wall night and day, in season and out of season. Your intercessors, dear God. Hallelujah, that prays for a family, a town, a nation, and the world, Lord. Continue to meet every need according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you,
Jesus.
Dear God. We give you glory. We give you praise for everything that you're going to do. You see it. Bless the man of God that's going to bring the word tonight, Lord. Anoint him afresh. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Bless the word. The word is already blessed. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you're saying unto us, the church. Let us eat and digest your word, dear God. In the name of Jesus. And we have prayed to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Wanda.
Amen.
Thank you, Wanda. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. I hear my dear wife on the other end. I thought she was at a meeting.
Praise
the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we move forward, our title this evening is Faith Brings Salvation. And where will we be coming from? 1 Peter 1:7. But when we look at faith and understanding that faith brings salvation, there are other scriptures that support that, such as Ephesians 2 says, by grace you are saved through faith. Or John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Or the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:7. Amen. We are going to rest on 1:7. Now 1 Peter 1:7, we are coming from the ESV, the English Standard Version. And we are going to share with three different versions, but we're going to be coming from the English Standard Version. And it says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be precious maybe your faith more precious than gold. Let me read that again. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the King James Version goes on to say that the trial of your faith, King James 1, 1 Peter 1 and 7, it reads as such, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the New Living Testament reads as such. The trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Now, historically, according to one of my favorite theologians, David DeSilvia, he says that Peter addresses the diaspora, and the diaspora during that time was those Jews who were living outside of Israel. Peter addressed the people of the diaspora but now they were localized in five Roman provinces that comprise of modern day Turkey, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, during those times, anyone who was associated with Jesus, and the group spreading across the Mediterranean in his name did not make an individual popular with his or her neighbors. On the contrary, being dedicated to one and only one God, They were dedicated to one and only one God. So that didn't make them popular during that time. And not only that, they chose a primary reference group, namely the church. And they were being committed to live out the ethical values of this God in community with fellow believers, all the believers. Their ethical values of God was their community, and there were fellow believers who were converted. They were considered antisocial or subversive, meaning that those that were living in Israel, that they felt that they were establishing their own institution because of their faith and belief in Jesus Christ, and then calling themselves a church. So they were establishing an institution. So they weren't too favorable to their neighbors. They weren't favored at all. Now, the problem addressed here by 1 Peter, the author focuses on one central pastoral problem, and that was helping these Christians endure in the face of their neighbors, helping them to overcome all the ridicule and everything their neighbors address them with. These things were negative reactions to their obstinate perseverance in their Christian faith. They were major causes that caused distress in the dispute because they were held and looked at and as low self-esteem by the public or their neighbors. in which the believers had fallen in the eyes of their neighbors. The low self-esteem, they looked at them in low self-esteem. So therefore, what they did was they insulted them. There was slander against them and other forms of verbal abuse, which were prominent in this letter of 1 Peter. So he was addressing all of these things to the believers. The first letter of Peter seeks to counteract these pressures, all these pressures that this community was going through because of how their neighbors responded to them. He wanted to remind them of the great honor and the privilege that they have in Christ and the advantage of their obedience to Christ, which gives them light in God's judgment. At the same time, the author wanted to shape their behavior in such a way as to overcome prejudice against them. This letter in 1 Peter, he was shaping their behavior so that they would be able to overcome all of these obstacles that came against them from their neighbors. Shaping their behavior meant having a respectful attitude. He also wanted them to know that these were benefits, actions when they did that. And also, living out of their new family obligations of love and support for one another. In order for them to be a family and a community, he wanted to remind them of their obligation of love and support for one another. Now, when we go on even further, there are things that I would like to focus on from the scripture. And the scripture, again, it reads as this: so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that precious through it is tested by fire. It may be found as a result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The three things that I would like to focus on this evening or rest on in the scripture is the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, and may be found as a result in praise, glory, and honor. Now, what I would like to do is break down, what does it mean by genuineness of your faith? According to the dictionary, genuine means truly what something is said to be. That is considered genuine. It could be authentic, real, original, or true. Now, authentic faith is a faith that is real despite how your neighbors feel. Genuine faith is considered a steadfast loyalty or a commitment to Christ under trial. Let me say that again. Genuine faith is a steadfast loyalty or a commitment to Christ under trials. Does that sound familiar? First, to trust in Christ or saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. It's stated in Scripture in Hebrews 11:1. And here it says that your faith is more precious than gold. Now, I'd like to stop here for a minute, and we look at more precious than gold. When we look at gold, we can translate it into something that is considered valuable in today's society. Thing that is valuable in today's society. Now, when we think about gold, it's tested to determine if it is authentic or real by touchstone testing. Now, what is touchstone testing? That's when the jeweler uses a black delicious stone used to check the purity of gold and silver. So what happens through this when they're checking to determine if it's authentic, it is an acid that is placed on to determine whether it is the purity of the gold. Is it pure gold or not? Does it have manufacturer's marks? He looks at the color and the reflectivity. This is determined if you have the real deal. Now, let me tell you a little story about me when I was in high school as a sidebar. When I was coming up in high school, I don't know during your time, but we used to love gold chains. You was cool if you had a gold chain. Now, my parents during that time, they didn't have the money to afford a gold chain. So whenever we went to New York City and they presented or they were selling it on the streets, a gold chain, I was excited. I was excited. And every time that I would find someone or someone approached me selling a gold chain, thought I had the real deal. So after over years of going to New York City, we used to go there to buy clothes, and then we would come back to Long Island. We could get clothes there that were inexpensive compared to where we lived. So we would go and purchase clothing in New York City. And one of the things that I would always love to pick up was a chain. When someone approached me with a gold chain, my eyes just lit up. Now, I got to the point where I would take the chain and someone told me to put it in acid to determine if it turned colors, then it was not real. It was not authentic. And every time that I went there, I always came back with what I call fool's gold. I would wear that chain for months, and I remember someone telling me, is that chain turning colors? I couldn't tell. I didn't know. I just knew that I had a gold chain, and I was excited about my little gold chain. And someone said, is it turning colors? No, it's not turning colors. This is real. This is a real gold chain. So sometimes we can be fooled by fool's gold, or gold fool, should I say. I purchased it over the years, and I just couldn't tell if with those that I purchased over the years, when I look back today, I couldn't tell you where those chains are or anything that I've purchased during that time when I was coming up and working. I couldn't tell you where they are today. So the author, I guess what I'm alluding to is the author writes that your faith is more precious than gold. See, because gold will eventually perish. It will eventually perish, or you might even say even tarnish with my gold chain. And after it tarnishes, you're not going to wear it again. It's worthless. When I think about gold and your faith is more precious than gold, I kind of revert back to Kirk Franklin. And you know when he has in his song, it says, silver and gold, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than riches untold. Now, as a comparative, your faith is more valuable or worth much more than gold. However you want to say it, however, whatever language you want to use, it is your faith is much more valuable, more precious than gold in the eyesight of God. You see, the test of your faith passes through trials and tribulations, and here they say fire, it passes through the fire. So however your neighbors look at you or slander you or receive you, the author here is to remind you that it is to be expected. That's what happened then. That's why the author was writing those letters to build up their faith. The behavior is to remain, the behavior of the believer is to remain respectful in or despite whatever you go through. Watch this. The trials, and I'm going to open up the mics pretty soon. The trials of your faith shows you will be given glory and honor. I'm sorry, praise and glory and honor. See, it is the believers in Jesus Christ who he's referring to, whose faith is genuine. It is the believers in Jesus Christ. And there are going to be things or trials that you're going to go through, or your neighbors are going to try to bring you down because of your faith in Jesus Christ. There may be slander and a number of different negative connotations that's going to come against you. Those are the tests of your faith. And here, what Peter is saying is that when you or when the believers hold on to their faith, then that is pleasing in the eyesight of Christ. It is the believers in Jesus Christ whose faith is genuine. And as we go on to number three, Revelation. When we break down Revelation, it is an act. You know how we say that, you know, people receive a revelation. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page and we understand what revelation is. I know most of you on here do, but if you do not, revelation is an act of revealing. Revelation is communicating a divine truth. Revelation is something that is revealed by God. Revelation is making known. Revelation is enlightening or astonishing disclosure from God. Now, in closing, God receives the praise, the glory, and the honor. But here, 1 Timothy, he's saying that the believers who stand on their faith and the faith is strong, unwavering in it, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, their faith opens the door and brings salvation. My brothers and sisters, your soul is too valuable to gamble with. Let me say that again. Your soul is too valuable to gamble with. If your faith has been shaken by the trials of this world, or if you have fallen short of trust or faith in God, would you please pray this prayer with me and repeat after me? Jesus, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say that the righteous man will live by faith. Mold me in your image and fill my heart with faith in you. Guide my actions so that I can live by faith and have a fuller life in you, abundantly and eternally. Cleanse my thoughts of impurities. Dear God, keep my eyes fixed on you and you alone. Help me to be steadfast in my walk with you. The spirit is willing, flesh is weak. I will trust in you and your scriptures so that I strengthen my faith and can live right in your holy sight and receive salvation. Amen.
Amen.
The mics are open. The mics are open. Any comments? Not everybody at one time. Any comments on anything that's been said?
I thank you, sir, about this faith, the faith walk, and how it is precious, more precious than gold. Because, and just like you said, gold deteriorates, but our faith is more than just, it's a spiritual thing that plays out in the natural. Faith is something we have to believe in God. And even coming to God, we have to have the faith to know that he is God. You know, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith is so valuable, it transcends space and time. To believe what seemingly can't be, that can be. That's why Paul was saying about faith. Faith can move mountains. Faith can believe that tumor that is in that individual. We believe God to dissolve the tumor. It's faith that works that. It's our faith. You know, so many times I heard pastors say, you know, God, he does feel our tears and hears our moans, but it's faith that moves him. Faith moves God. Great strength comes from faith in God. Our strength comes from faith in God. I like this, sir, because it's more precious. My phone is messed up. It's precious. It's more precious than gold. I hear you. I hear you.
You know, my sister,
I hear you. This is a good word.
Thank you.
This is solid. Because we're going to need our faith to believe that all that is happening in this earth, and These are the times. These are the end times. But our faith in God, knowing that He will cover us.
Yes.
That gives us the confidence in knowing that His word won't go back void.
Amen.
That's faith in Him. Faith in His word. I'm done. God is good.
Good. Can you hear me?
This
can you,
great word.
Can you hear
Come
me?
Come on, y'all.
Yes.
Can you
I'm
hear
all.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're breaking up a little.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
A little bit louder. Louder.
Okay, can you hear me? Hey, Elba, can you hear me now?
You're a little bit.
Hold on. Let me.
That's Pastor Robinson. Yeah.
Wow, what happened?
Can y'all hear me now?
Much better.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You're
we
very
can hear
good.
You now.
Okay. Hey, good evening, everybody. Ella, thank you for that word on faith. You know, we are going through a time right now that people has lost their faith in
mm-hmm.
God
yeah.
and lost their trust in God. But, you know, the scripture tells us that without faith it's what? Impossible to do what?
Please God.
Without faith it's impossible to please God. And I do believe that if we could just get that verse in people who believe in God, who say
mm-hmm.
that they are followers of Christ, if they would just take that scripture and ride on
mm-hmm.
it, that verse, then I believe that your faith will grow if you are a believer. I like what I heard a long time ago, and I shared this with you all a while ago. You know, and I like Hebrews 11, the scripture you read. But I like to say it on this wise. Faith is believing that it is so until it becomes so because God says so.
Oh, that's good.
Faith is believing that it is so even though it ain't so until it becomes so. Because God said so. So,
amen.
You know,
I like that.
I'm
sorry, Elder John. Could you say that one more time, Pastor? I've got my pen.
Faith is believing that it is so, even though it ain't so or not so, until it becomes so, because God says so.
Amen.
Amen.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
Pastor, say that one more time, folks. That might be notating that. I can tell, you know, the folks out there writing that down.
I want to say it again. Faith is believing that it is so, even when it ain't so, until it becomes so, because God says so. And I really have to say that I ride on that. You know, I've been through some tests and I've been through some trials and some tribulations here lately. And I know that my faith is going to be tested again, and it's going to be tested again. It's going to be tested again. But what we got to do is we got to believe God. We got to say what Job said. Even though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Yet will I have faith in you. Yet will I know that you will be there for me if I have faith. If I have faith in God. I'm done. And I just wanted to share
Amen.
That.
Thank you so much. Amen. I like that. Faith is believing that it is so, even when it ain't so, until it becomes so, because God says so. I think I got it.
That's good.
I think
That's
I got
right.
it. Hallelujah.
Good evening,
that's
all.
A beautiful thing of coming mm-hmm. here and just being able to share. You know, that's coming mm-hmm. from out of Texas. You know, but just wherever you are, you know, just coming to the round table and sharing a word, because yeah. each and every one of us have a word in us. And that's what it's all about, the unity of the body.
Yeah, that's
it's good. Not no big eyes, you know, or little U's or however that goes. It's not about that. We're all on the same level, the same playing field in God's eyes.
And on the same
playing field, yeah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Good evening, all. How are you all doing? This is Miles. I greet you all in the name of Jesus.
God bless you, sir.
How you doing, Brother Moderator? Hi to all. One thing that I like that came to me through the scripture that you said, and I was following along, the genuineness of your faith. Now, you got to think about that. Made me think. When you said the genuineness of your faith, made me think that there's different levels of faith. Because
mm-hmm.
Christ talked about your faith being the size of a mustard seed, then you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have bigger faith, then you can do this. So when you go mm-hmm. through that, from what I've received on that, from the someone's faith cannot be, or God will put you to it, let you see where your level of faith is at.
Mm-hmm.
That's the genuineness of what you have in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Different
Amen.
Levels of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the genuineness of your faith being tried. And people always said, I've heard it preached and preached before, don't ask God for patience, because here comes trials and tribulations. That's how you're going to get your patience. And that's how you're going to get your faith. So there's different. So there's some people that speak and they're genuine, but they're genuinely wrong. And your faith, mm-hmm. you can have faith, and it can be genuine, but it be of a smaller level of faith. That may be why you're going through that, to build up that faith. You got muscles,
mm-hmm.
you go to the gym to work them out to get stronger. The only way
mm-hmm.
your faith is going to get stronger is through trials and tribulations in this world.
Trials and tribulations. Experiences.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can attest that every time that anyone out there get ready to sit down in a chair, I guarantee you sit down, that you're not going to inspect that chair to see if it can hold your weight. You know what you do? You automatically sit down without a thought. You will sit down on that chair without a thought, not wondering if it's going to break or if it's going to waver. You're going to sit down with the assurance of knowing that that chair is going to hold you. And that's where God wants us, with our faith. Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. We don't even think about it. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through trials and tribulations that build on our faith, that make the believer become a stronger and more trusting in God. Our experiences. Because, you know, what Peter was saying was that the neighbors can tear you down. The neighbors can slander you. The neighbors can make you feel like your faith is worthless. The neighbors. And he is reminding us that we have to stand on our faith, because it's not what our neighbors, how our neighbors see us, it's how God sees us. See, because I hate to bust your bubble, but this world is not always going to be here. There's going to come a time when Jesus is returning. And when he's coming back, he's going to be looking at each and every one of us and how we stood out to the test of time by our faith.
That's good.
That's why I said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Can you believe, can you have faith that God is going to operate on your behalf without even seeing him? Is your faith that strong? Is your faith strong enough to know that when you're, when things begin to become depleted, that God is going to work on your behalf? That he's going to be there for you without a shadow of a doubt? Is your faith strong enough to know that when you sit on that chair, that it's going to be strong enough to hold you up? Whatever we do, it's going to determine our faith of knowing that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The mics are open. The mics are open. Amen.
Yeah,
we just have a round table talk. Tonight I'm calling
glad
it a real talk.
Ella,
Pastor Robinson, what did you say? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm glad you said that because, you know, we put our faith in everything but God.
Amen.
We are supposed to be Christians. The majority of us are anyway, and we are supposed to be his followers, his so to speak disciples, and we'll put our trust in money, we'll put our trust in a car, and as
you just illustrated,
we'll put our trust and our faith in a chair, or we'll put it in our spouses and our children, but yet not many of us will stand and say, God, I will put my trust in you and you alone.
In you.
I will have faith in you regardless of my circumstance. I'll have faith in you regardless of what anybody says or what anybody else does. I will put my faith in you, and as I said, you alone. And I'm just glad to hear you say that.
You know, when Pastor Robinson was saying that, you know what I was thinking? He said, we put our faith in everything. Elder John said the chair, wife, husband or wife, anything. We put out the cars, whatever. And what came to mind is all those things have an expiration date. But faith doesn't have an expiration. Faith is that mother that has already gone home to be with the Lord, and her faith is that her children will be saved. And she may not be here. But that faith that transcends, you know, space and time, even death, hallelujah, they're saved.
Yes.
I'm just saying, they're saved. But her faith was, Lord, I know you're going to do it. Her faith, she stood on that faith. Abraham stood on that faith. That same faith that brought Isaac out. That faith. Oh, my God. This is a good word. Faith goes beyond the tangible things into the intangible places. And then it reverses and comes back and shows it tangibly. From the intangible to the
intangible
tangible.
To the
because everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that God said came from the spirit first, and then it manifested in the natural.
Amen.
And faith
I know that we can talk about this all night long.
Lord Jesus.
I know we can talk about this all night, and we can say many things about it. But another scripture just came to my mind as Minister Mahon was talking. You know, the scripture says that it's better to put our trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. Or let me say, it's better to put our faith in the Lord and to have confidence in man. That's the one description I wanted to use a minute ago. And I just hope and pray that during this time of pandemic, during this time of struggle, during this time of wearing masks and social distancing, we can still say, I put my faith in you, Lord. Because God having faith in you, I believe that this pandemic will soon be over. You see, all things got to come to an end. So this pandemic got to come to an end. You know, because God is more reliable than that. He's more reliable than the pandemic. Hey, listen to this, Ellen. I'm gonna let you go. But you know, people are putting trust and putting faith in this COVID-19 more than they are putting in God.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that bothers me because we got so-called believers and leaders who other people see and follow who put their faith in these things, in these non-essential things. And and I'm just so glad that to me, and I'm just speaking for me, that God is essential. I need him. I need him every day. I need him every minute. I need him every hour. Matter of fact, I need him every second. I need him in every breath that I take. Hallelujah. I need him.
Yes.
I need him.
He said, do not put your faith in man, and people are putting so much faith in the government. We need to get on our knees. We need to pray to God so he can come in and resolve these problems that we have. Our faith will take us through our struggles, our restlessness, and through the pressures and storms of life. The reason why God walks us through the fire is to develop our character so we can return to him and confess our sins and turn from our wicked ways. And he wants us to trust him totally and depend upon him totally, because God can move the hearts of the king. He can move the hearts of man, and he can resolve all our problems. We have to go through the trials to refine and strengthen our faith, and that's why we go through it. And if we don't strengthen our faith, then we're going to fail ourselves. Faith is the remedy to uncertain times, and we are living in uncertain times. We need to walk down that staircase, even though we don't see the stairs, because that's faith. We're putting our faith in Almighty God, who controls the whole universe and who has the whole universe in his hands. So faith is something that we have to, if we don't have it, it's a free gift from God. So we have to pray about, you know, help me in my unbelief, because there are Christians that still don't believe certain things. And the man said, help me in my unbelief. And so we have to strive by reading his word, strive to have greater faith. I know you can have a small faith of the mustard seed, but we need to build our faith through his word and through his through having a relationship with Almighty God, because God, he is faithful, and he wants us to be faithful to him as well.
Ella, let me interject one more thing before we go about faith. Let me just say this. How many of us get up out of bed every morning? We get up out of bed every morning, and we don't think about this. We don't think about this one thing. Faith is taking that first step when you get out of bed in the morning.
Yes.
That's what faith is.
Amen.
So see, it's not written down that you'll be able to take that step. It's not saying that you'll be able to move when you get up in the morning. But faith is getting out of bed, taking that first step.
Amen.
And I just want to share that on.
Good.
Amen. As we come to a close, we have maybe like about 30 seconds. Give me one word. Here I'm going to ask from each and every one of you, okay? And you can just, you know, just give me a word. What you have gained from this evening? One word. One word.
Hey.
Confidence.
Hey.
Unity.
Genuineness.
Love. Mm-hmm.
Love. Anyone else? We have some numbers not saying anything at all.
Sincerity.
Sincerity.
That's good.
Anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Trust.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. May God bless you. Thank you,
hope,
each and every
hope,
one
hope.
Of you. We do not take it lightly with you coming on and joining us for this blog talk. Thank you so much. And for those who are listening that's not saying anything, they are being strengthened. Their faith is being strengthened by our discussions, our study questions, our study talk. Their faith is being strengthened, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen?
Amen.
As we come to a close, remember, we love you. Someone have a comment real quick?
That was awesome.
Praise God.
Sorry, what did you say, sir?
I said that was awesome. It's me, cuz.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like that sound like West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sound like my cousin from West Virginia. John, it's good to have you on. God bless you.
I feel as though faith gives us hope for God's Christ's return, because he said he will return. So we have, through
Amen.
Faith, we have the hope that one day that he will return.
Amen. And I'm gonna close out by saying, you know, what I've gained from this is salvation. Faith brings
mm-hmm.
salvation. Amen. Eternal life. Amen. We love you, but God loves you most. Until next week.
Okay, God bless you.
I was just wondering. I'm just hurt. That's all right now.